Hey, it's episode 414 of the 343 podcast. Today we cover a number of things that you need to know. Again, if you are a parent of a youth player or if you're coaching youth, if you're not in the professional game, you need to know what environment you're swimming in. And that environment is governed and basically crafted and sculpted from the top, from the federation, from Major League Soccer, or as I like to call it, Minor League Soccer. And what prompted today's discussion was I had a meeting with Benny at a local restaurant here, and he started asking me a whole bunch of questions surrounding that. What kind of environment is this really, Gary? I've been working in the space for 15 years. I've been working with you for, I don't know, over 5 years now, and things are starting to click, but I still have questions. He prompted me with some good ones. They were originating from, let's see, one was from Mr. Crocker, No, I think it was from the CEO of, it was from Crocker. So Crocker is the sporting director of U.S. soccer, the athletic director, if you will, the guy who runs the national teams, the guy who sets a lot of policy for the sporting side of the equation. And he came out at this U.S. soccer coaching convention saying, oh, we're trying to educate the parents and the families and the coaches about the pathway, right? What is the real pathway? What is it that you all should be doing, you know, throughout your youth careers? It seems innocuous in and of itself. It seems like, oh, wow, cool. You know, he's coming out, he's trying to educate the public. But what is it really? What are they really telling you? And what, more importantly, what are they not telling you? We cover that. Benny also brought up a comment from Alexi Lawless saying, well, soccer hasn't really been successful in this country. And he lists out all the classic myths, right? And one of the classic myths is that, well, it's not the number one sport in the country and a number of other things. I go ahead and obviously destroy that whole argument. And then lastly, it's all connected, but why does MLS have academies? You immediately thought, oh, because they want to develop players, you know, when they have first teams. That's funny. That's funny. Let's make sure that we get that corrected by the end of the episode. Speaking of the development pathway and of the macro environment, you can't influence those sorts of things at the U.S. Soccer Federation MLS level directly, at least not to the point where you can influence it and things are going to change right away. But you know what you can influence directly and pretty much immediately? Your training sessions, your coaching environment, your coaching trajectory. So you go to 343coaching.com. There are free and premium programs for you there. I'm telling you, it is going to change your world. It is going to rock your world by starting with the fundamentals, back to basics, and the transformation your teams, players, and you yourself as a coach is going to materialize. So coaches, do yourself the huge favor. You'll thank me later, or you don't have to thank me. That's fine. It's at 343coaching.com. And if you happen to be coaching the little ones in the 7v7 format, no problem at all. For you, there's a special course for 7v7. It's at 7v7coaching.com. After you finish that 7v7 course, it's a year-long thing, you graduate to the full premium 343 program. And parents, believe it or not, I'm sure you're aware of this, but you are coaches as well. No, not necessarily laying out cones and doing drills and all that stuff or managing games, but you are your kid's coach, either directly or indirectly, and you need to be saying and doing the right things, especially if you care to fulfill their potential, which I know I'm preaching to the choir here. We have a solution for that. It's at 343masterclass.com. Learn to discern the environment that your child is actually in, so that you can make better decisions for them or in conjunction with them. And also learn the activities that will help them develop on their own time. Exercises with ball on the wall. Okay, simple enough, but what should the player actually be doing against the wall? We have that and much more at 343masterclass.com, the program for parents. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoy this episode. Here we go.
Now, dude, we're going to talk everything MLS today, everything that's wrong with it. I didn't mean to do this, but it somehow kind of just happened where every post that I did this week on Instagram was towards MLS. And in making the reels and having discussions with you about MLS, in our conversation that we had at Lazy Dog, my eyes are starting to be opened as to how wrong it is, bro, what they're doing at every level, from the youth all the way up to the top. I'd really like to break it all down today, Gary. But before we do that, There's been a lot of comments about you, Gary, and I want to give you a chance to not shut them up, but just to allow you to speak on this. A lot of people say, oh, Gary, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea. Gary, you're a fraud. So before we get into anything MLS, right, what gives you the right and what gives you the knowledge to say, hey, I actually do know what I'm talking about when it comes to all things MLS?
There's no way of proving that, Benny. How do you prove that? I can prove. Well,
give us your experience.
Things in mathematics.
Give us your experience, dude.
Well, no, I know. No, but it has to be framed this way because this is why things of the nature that you just described happen and don't just happen to me. They happen to everybody, including Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola was called a fraud and didn't know what the fuck he was doing from the moment he landed in England. So this whole notion of Gary, you're a fraud. You know what you don't know anything. The whole premise of addressing it, Benny, is incorrect. Okay. Because it doesn't matter what I share or what I say. And I've done it a million times. And first and foremost, people should be doing their own homework because they don't want to listen to somebody that they believe already is somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about to give their credentials. This is about, they believe in, sometimes they don't even believe in things like credentialism because Pep Guardiola has all the credentials in the world and yet he has millions of people calling him a fraud. So it always goes down to, is the person that you are tuning into saying the things that you already believe in or not saying the things that you believe in? That is ultimately whether people fall on one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. So this whole notion of, hey, Gary, and I know you didn't say this, Benny, but it's effectively what they want you to do. Hey, Gary, I'm giving you the opportunity to defend yourself, right? And that's when a person who doesn't know any better goes on and says, oh, well, I haven't a license or I have a UEFA license or I've been coaching for 25 years or I played professionally or I've been playing my whole life or my heritage is from Argentina or I started a business in coaching development and I have thousands of coaches who have sent me emails saying, oh my God, Gary, you changed my life. My team is kicking ass. They were last place last year and they're first place this year. And oh my God, Gary, thank you so much. My career has, I'm now coaching an MLS Academy, you know, or I'm now a professional coach. I owe so much to you. It doesn't matter if I say all those things, Benny, even though I just said them right now. It doesn't matter. Oh, the only thing that matters to these people is whether I or anybody for that matter says the things that they already believe to be true. And the things that they believe to be true, they have a vested interest in. So in like our last episode and episodes prior, the whole futsal dilemma is like, if they have a futsal company or if they are doing futsal work and they're getting paid for futsal or they sent their kids to futsal for years and years and years, all of those people have a vested interest in the decisions that they have made and are currently making. So if I say, or if Pep Guardiola says, or if Mauricio Pochettino says, or the Federation says, futsal is not all it's cracked up to be, they're going to have an instant emotional reaction to that and say, you're a fraud, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. So the whole premise of addressing it, Benny, is flawed, is stupid.
I hear you, Gary. I hear you.
And I addressed it.
I hear you, Gary. And I was just hoping more for the sake of, because I know there is a lot of new audience members. And I know also, like, okay, let's say you title this episode, whatever it is, fucking MLS sucks, right? And a new listener comes on. I was just hoping that at the start of the conversation, you could say, hey, I've been in the fucking space for the last 20 years. I was on the sidelines. I saw behind the scenes. I represented players in the system. That's what I was hoping to get out from you guys. Not to defend yourself, but because I know the comment is going to come up, like, what gives this guy the right? This guy has no idea what he's talking about, but people need to hear, bro. And you say people need to do their homework. They don't do their homework, bro. You're a professor. You know that, dude. People don't do their homework, dude.
Yeah. And I can't force them to do their homework and they will not do their homework anyway. If I tell them my credentials, Benny, if I say that I've been representing professional players for the better part of a decade and even started this whole thing almost 20 years ago, and I've been working in the MLS ecosystem for a very long time and all the things that you just finished saying, it doesn't matter. There's a race, Benny, going on. I don't know if I think everybody's kind of been most aware of it in the past handful of years. There's a race to programming humans. Who can program humans to be on their side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle? And I'm not talking about red versus blue and politics specifically. It could be absolutely anything. Okay. And the race is a media race. Who can control the media space? Because that is what people consume. And whoever is first, Benny, and it has higher frequency, they win the race. So the people that you're worried about is going to be like, oh, who's this guy? He's a fraud. What does he know about MLS? And blah, blah, blah. We've already lost that race. They've already been programmed. They've already been listening to the MLS reporters, the American soccer journalists, the mainstream media here in American soccer. They've already been programmed. You cannot deprogram them. They're gone. Long gone. This is more, 343 is more for people who have developed an immunity to that programming in one way or another, or brand spanking new, right? And we're first to the race, okay? So that they can then go out and do the same sort of job in their little circles of influence. That's our audience, not the programmed NPCs, non-player characters.
I got you, Gary. Well, let's get right into it then.
Okay, go.
I first want to bring up a tweet that I think you reposted it maybe yesterday, maybe even this morning. Okay. And it's you reposting a picture of the United States Soccer Convention or United Coaches Convention, excuse me. Right. And it's a picture of Matt Crocker. And the quote is, "We want to make sure that every club, every coach, every child, and every parent understands the pathway." Your retweet basically said, quote unquote, the monopoly. And here's a line that I really want to digest with you. Parents are being screwed so hard. So can we get into your thinking behind that, Gary?
Yeah. Speaking of narrative control and programming people and who's first, that's literally, he's saying the quiet power out loud. He's literally saying, we want to program everybody, coaches, families, parents. We want to program everybody with, quote unquote, what is the pathway? And again, my quote tweet saying the monopoly is that's actually what the pathway he's referencing. By him referencing the pathway, what he's really saying is the monopoly. So essentially, you follow the MLS way of doing things, pure and simple, period, end of story. And he is a representative of the Federation, which is corrupt and controlled by MLS. They want to tell everybody, this is the way. This is what you must do. And here are the reasons why this is the correct way. So it's all about programming people, Benny.
Right.
So that is why I quote tweeted it, like, hey, the pathway, that what he's really saying is the monopoly. And to your broader question here, that I also added that parents are getting totally screwed. I think parents kind of feel that already. They kind of sense it. And one of the ways that they sense it, I mean, there's a whole bunch of avenues, but the big one that everybody's familiar with is the pay to play, right? They all feel it in their pocketbook. Especially after years and years of years of being tapping their ATM machine. They are getting royally screwed because they have bought into the pathway and they don't understand what comes out of the pathway. Development doesn't come out of the pathway. You are nothing but a transaction to these people. Nothing, pure and simple. You're nothing but funneling into their monopoly. And at the end of the road, sometimes people have to get all the way to the end of the road before they realize, oh, fuck, I just got screwed out of 50K or 70K or however much their kids' soccer education costs. And at the end of that rainbow, there was no pot of gold.
Yeah.
What you were sold never materializes. And some people catch wind of this a lot earlier because maybe their playing time sucks. Or maybe they went to an MLS academy and it's not all it's cracked up to be and you're having issues there. Or maybe you're not at an MLS academy, but you're in MLS next and you were all excited and happy about it. Oh, this is great. Look at the competition. But something happens to them, Ben, right? Their kid all of a sudden is not the star, or is not being the star, or is not being recognized, or is not being recruited once they get to those ages, right? For colleges or whatever it is, eventually the parents start opening their eyes, but by then it's too late. Their kid graduates from youth, and there's a whole new cohort of suckers at the beginning of the pathway. A whole new cohort of parents whose kids are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15 years old. There's always a new sucker, as P.T. Barnum used to say, something of that nature.
Yeah. No, it seems scary as the years go on. Like if you imagine a bucket and you start putting parents in it, of parents that have been jaded by the system, right? It seems as the years are going on, the bucket keeps getting more filled and more parents are getting added into it and they start opening their eyes. But I'm wondering, like, when is that bucket going to tip over and the countries realize, like, dude, we are being fucked right now by the Federation, by MLS. But as you say, right, there's always going to be that new crop of parents that come in. So I don't know, maybe that's taking parents out of the bucket. I don't know, dude. Like, when?
No, it's a great business model because there's net accountability, you know, never comes to these people that are in the monopoly and benefiting from the monopoly, because those parents whose kids eventually graduate away from youth soccer, for instance, and like they're done, they're pissed off. They see what it actually was all about, you know, the scam essentially. But what's an individual person to do? I think what everybody does, and it's fine, it's good for their own sanity and health, they say water under the bridge and they look forward, Benny. Okay, my kid's in college, or, you know, let's focus on academics, or, you know, let's just move on from this soccer, this soccer thing. And interestingly enough, because they were jaded to a certain extent also, and they take that path, they're not vested and they don't care about soccer later. They're not like lifelong people who go to the stadiums and are all about it anymore. They did it when their kid was young. And then once the kid graduates, they're like, nah, it doesn't matter to me anymore. Because they were never even attached to a first team necessarily also.
Yeah. And Gary,
to answer your question, Benny, there is no tipping point where all these parents who are pissed off or whatever end up doing something about it. They all move on with their life.
Yeah, they just end up getting over it, right? To them, it doesn't matter anymore. Their kid's not in the system anymore. Kind of sad.
Yep.
So, Gary, Matt Crocker is talking about, you know, the pathway, okay? And we recently posted a reel about how do you make it on a youth national team. Is you have to be part of an MLS academy. And I think that reel over the past week since it's been posted, maybe like 60,000 views. But
look at the youth national team. It's like, the Red Bull here, New York City there, Inter Miami here. It's all MLS Academy kids. I mean, yes, there's the occasional European one because maybe it's dual national. They don't want to lose the dual national because the kid is in Europe. Or there's the occasional European one that is kind of undeniable. You have to call them up. But they're already implicitly, if not explicitly off the record, tell you if you're not in our MLS Academy, you can kiss the national team goodbye. People here are naive. They'll just be like, well, Gary, they have the best players. That's not true. How do you know they have the best players? At the youth level, they didn't even let people who are not in MLS Next compete against their teams. When it used to happen, right, when we had the U.S. Soccer Development Academy and it was run by the Federation and it wasn't just MLS academies, everybody was mixed together, MLS academies would be embarrassed by non-MLS academies all the time. Up until they kept consolidating power and centralizing and gatekeeping and kicking people out, you'd always see countless times non-MLS Academy teams beating the shit out of MLS Academy teams. So don't tell me that, oh, well, Gary, it's because all the best players are in MLS Academies. That's not true. Not true.
I don't think people realized it, and that's why it was such a shock to them. But one of the common themes that kept coming up is, okay, it's obvious that 90% of the players on a youth national team are coming from MLS academies. Okay, so how can we fix it? Obviously, I know the answer is to have an open system, right? To introduce promotion relegation. But let's say that doesn't happen in the next 5-10 years. Is there any way for a kid who aspires to be on a youth national team that maybe doesn't have the opportunity to play for an MLS academy. Is there any way to change this?
I think the only way to bypass the monopoly at this point is USL. And I'm not saying USL is the be-all, end-all at all. I'm not saying USL is awesome at all. There was recently, I think it was a week ago, there was an announcement that a 17-year-old kid, I believe, yeah, 17, from Birmingham Legion, USL championship team, is going to move to Germany and be part of, trying to remember what club it was. I think it was Werder Bremen, if I'm not mistaken. That Werder Bremen, he's going to go over there once he's 18. So he's completely bypassing this whole MLS monopoly, being essentially enslaved and in shackles, and you can only go if we allow you to go. So that is one way to bypass it, Benny. So if you have a local sort of USL team, you should be considering that route instead of, being an indentured servant to MLS.
Yeah.
That's what came to mind, Ben, because it was top of mind recently in the news that this kid, and he's not the only one. There's been other situations, like I think his name is Jonathan Gomez. Was at Louisville City FC, again, USL club, and he transferred to Spain, lower division side in Spain, a handful of years ago. I think he's 22 now. And just this past weekend, his team, I think it's Albacete, I'm trying to remember, so I'm sorry if I mess that up. They played Real Madrid for the cup, and they beat Real Madrid 3-2 in the dying moments. And he was on the field. So never played MLS, wasn't part of the MLS system. And look at where the kid is now. And is he a good player? Yes. But is he special where it's like, oh yeah, but Gary, he's like the cream of the cream? No, ladies and gentlemen. But this was the whole point of that earlier reel of youth national teams, and they're only selecting MLS Academy kids. No, we have talent everywhere across the country, but that talent needs to be unearthed and given a pathway, a true pathway, not the Matt Crocker corrupt pathway.
Yeah. What is your response to, because a lot of the comments were also, well, yeah, this is the professional league in our, or this is a domestic league, right? Of course, the best players are going to be at MLS academies.
That's ignorance. It's just supreme ignorance. And I don't blame them. They're just ignorant. And I'm not saying it in the derogatory way. It's just, you don't know anything about this world. You just don't know. So what do you rely on? You rely on this third grade notion of the cream rises to the top. The cream always rises to the top. And so what is the top right now? Or what is claimed to be the top? Oh, MLS next, in MLS academies, that's a top. So if you're in an MLS academy, you must be the cream. It's this childhood naive way of viewing the world. That's not how the world works. And that's not how it actually is in football.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, Ben, is that when people are going to take issue with this, I don't care. When you acquire deep subject matter expertise in one thing, you go really deep, and you've not just studying, because people think also incorrectly that, or if you just study it academically, like if you read books or papers, that's actually acquiring expertise. That's not acquiring expertise. Actually working in the space, gives you real expertise coupled with the other stuff. When you acquire deep subject matter expertise, you start seeing all the myths that exist, all the lies, all the stuff that you believe to be true aren't true at all. And then you start thinking about all the other domains that you're not an expert in, whether it be medicine, whether it be law, whether it be accounting, whether it be manufacturing, whether it be, you name it, everything else that you are not an expert in, you start questioning everything. I'm like, this is probably what it's like everywhere. And then you see subject matter experts in those domains. First off, it's very difficult to judge who is a subject matter expert if you're not a subject matter expert. But you start seeing the same sorts of things, like everything is, I can't find a better word than a scam, right? Because, once you get to the top of a field, an organization, an institution, a company, whatever, what you want to do, what they want to do is kind of preserve their power at the very top, not let anybody else in. You want to stay there. And so you make rules and regulations so that you are permanently enshrined at the very top and pull the ladder up after you. You climb the ladder and you want to pull the ladder up now so nobody else can get up. So you start seeing the world in a very different light. And when we get these comments, Benny, like that, and it's just because they don't know any better. They're ignorant about stuff. They think the cream actually rises to the top. It doesn't rise to the top. I want to say one more thing, Ben. In soccer, it's different than in the other traditional American team sports. Because in soccer, there's two fundamental things that are different. Number one is that it is an international competition, international game. So you get exposed. Our American athletes in this sport get exposed for the frauds, right? Or for their, not that they're frauds, but their shortcomings are exposed. In the other sports, NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, you historically and to this day, you don't get exposed whether you're actually elite or not elite. But we're getting exposed in soccer because it's an international game. The second point, Benny, is that in the other sports, I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm going to keep refining this message, there's a lot more 1v1 battles involved. It's a 1v1 sort of game. It's a lot more, the statistics in those games can capture elite versus non-elite a lot better than in soccer. How do you capture whether a left center back is truly elite? He doesn't show up in the score sheet. He doesn't show up in the assist sheet. He doesn't show up in a whole bunch of categories. It's very difficult. Passing percentage, what does that actually tell you, that number? It doesn't tell you much, because if I put a left center back, you know, on Real Madrid, who maybe isn't the greatest left center back, his pass completion rate is going to be a lot higher than if I put him at a bottom of the table team in La Liga, the same player, because you aren't dominating possession and teams are pressing you. When your team sucks, you get pressed a lot more. Your passing percentage is going to go down. Versus if you're on Real Madrid, your left center back, they're not going to press you very much. They're going to let you have the ball a lot longer and have a lot more time and space. So the stats don't capture quality of the soccer player as easily as the stats in NFL, NBA, and baseball. So you have no idea who the cream of the crop is here. I'm sorry, that's a long-winded answer just to say that it's a naive take that all the best players are in MLS academies. That's outrageously naive, supremely naive.
Yeah. My question to you is, Gary, by default, isn't the MLS franchises and MLS academies going to just naturally get the best kids? Because if you think about it, Gary, if you're a 13-year-old kid, okay, let's say you're some type of super phenom, your ambition is to play on the youth national team, you know, or maybe the parents know, that the only route to make the national team is to join the MLS academy, right? So by default, aren't they naturally just getting the best players? Like maybe play.
Stop. I have to stop you, because you can't say best players. It's by default, there is a forcing function and a funnel that funnels the better players, right? The top 10%, let's say, into those regions. But you can't say best. You can't say best. Let's say that there's, I don't know, to throw a number out there, let's say that there's 100,000 really good soccer players out there in the United States. Awesome. Okay. How many spots do the MLS academies have? I don't know, but it's not all 100,000. So you only get a percentage of those really good players going there. But who are truly the best? You don't know who truly the best ones are. You just don't know. And once the rosters are kind of full on the MLS academies, those players who were selected early in the pipeline, they're on this virtuous cycle because they stay in the MLS academy by and far. I don't know what the turnover rate is. It's different probably for every franchise, but they're on a virtuous cycle. So since they're in the MLS academy, they're considered among the best. So they stay again, and then they stay again, and year after year after year, you're staying in there, right, for a long period of time. And the club, not the club, the franchise and the coaches there get to know you. They're comfortable with you. So it's a lot harder for somebody from the outside, a player from the outside, to come and take that kid's spot. You with me? Even though that kid from the outside could have a much higher ceiling, could be better.
Yeah.
So they're out. And this is not to mention, what about all the players, all the kids who don't happen to be nearby an MLS franchise? What about that whole population? You have no idea.
True. So then what are the incentives of the MLS Academy to be, hey, where are you going to find, okay, you mentioned this whole crop of 100,000 players. Our incentive as an MLS Academy is to go and find the top 1% of that 100,000. No. They don't have that incentive. So what are the incentives?
Absolutely not.
What are the incentives then of an MLS Academy?
To control the youth player pipeline, to not let any other organization have any power in the top end of American soccer. That is the goal of the MLS academies.
Can you expand on that a little bit more?
That's the goal.
To me, it doesn't make sense to me. Honestly, why wouldn't their incentive be like, hey, let's fucking find the best players we can?
Because the business model doesn't operate on finding the best players. There is no. We went over what the business model is in our last recording, which I'm going to release shortly. It'll be before this one. We went over the entire business model of MLS. MLS is like buying a Picasso. Getting a franchise is like buying a Picasso. You just buy a Picasso, you sit on it, and it naturally appreciates because it's a scarce asset and you can't get any more of them. End of story. That is the business model, period, full stop. Now, they have an operating budget because they have to operate the professional team. They have expenses, and so they need revenue. Where do they get the revenue from? To operate the business while the asset appreciates like a Picasso. You get revenue from ticket sales, from jersey sales, from sponsorships, from TV contracts, from new expansions, right? Because it's all a big pool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The developing of a youth player into a first team player is so far down the revenue side of the equation that it's completely irrelevant. And even if you happen to develop a good player and they make it to the first team or something, how does that translate into business? It doesn't really translate into business, Benny. From a monetary perspective, even if the kid ends up being sold for $5 million overseas or something on that order, we went over this last time, $5 million to an owner of an MLS franchise is pocket change. It's meaningless. Sure, it helps run the operations. Okay, with $5 million, you can operate the academy for another couple years or a year, whatever it is, but it's completely irrelevant. What does matter is controlling of the elite soccer ecosystem in the United States. And they already control it at the Division I professional game. At the professional game, they have full control. It's a monopoly. Now they want to control, they've been working on controlling the entire quote unquote elite youth system so that they control everything. That is the purpose, Ben. That is the purpose. They don't want another organization, let's say like an ODP. Remember ODP back in the day? ODP, Olympic Development Program. That's where, you know, all the quote unquote best youth players, they'd be selected by ODP. They would form a team and that team would go compete against other regions of ODP. And that would kind of funnel players to the youth national team environment and also funnel players to ultimately the professional environment. MLS doesn't want somebody else to control that. Would MLS rather have on the youth national teams when they compete in World Cups or in qualifying or anything for that matter, would MLS rather have their players saying LA Galaxy, Houston Dynamo, Portland Timbers, you know, in the media? Or would they rather have it say Real SoCal, Patidores, Irvine Strikers, Rush Soccer, Nomad, San Diego Surf? What do you think MLS wants? They want their brand, their branding. They want total control. Do they want another organization come around and bypass MLS when those players are ready to turn pro? Because imagine if all non-MLS players are on the youth national teams, then everywhere across the world, when they watch youth national team World Cups and games, they're like, ooh, I like this 17-year-old. Where does he play? San Diego Surf. Okay, let's go see if we can talk to them and, you know, bring them over to Frankfurt, you know, bring them over to Freiburg or bring them over to Holland or whatever. That player's out of the MLS ecosystem. No power, no control. So the purpose of the MLS academies, first and foremost, is power and control of the youth ecosystem.
Okay, so my...
Did that help in your understanding of, like, I don't understand how the incentive isn't to get the best players. That trying to get the best players and recruiting and scouting costs money. Do they want to spend more money on working on the athletic, on the sporting side of the equation? They don't want to spend that money, Benny. Go ahead with your follow-up.
Yeah, my follow-up would be, if their incentive is not to develop players for the first team, why do they fight so hard to protect players so that another MLS franchise doesn't come and take their player, right? Why do they lock them in and say, no, if you want this player, you're going to have to pay $100,000. And by the way, right, MLS is a single entity, right? So wouldn't they want to work together, all the separate franchises, to say like, hey, you know, we're Real Salt Lake, you know, Austin wants our player. It's cool with us because he, at least he's going to still remain in the league. But it seems like they fight so hard to keep their own players and, you know, protect them in.
Ben, optics. So once one understands what this whole thing is all about, and it's not about soccer, once one understands that, then you see a whole new world opens up to you. So it's all about optics. They need to preserve the appearance that this is a legit soccer enterprise like it is in the rest of the world. They need to preserve the appearance that these franchises are actual soccer clubs like in the rest of the world, that they want to develop players because it's important for their sporting side of the equation, because they're actually competing against Portland Timbers and New York City FC in the actual first team in the first division, that it actually matters. Like, could you imagine if they just allowed it to be a free-for-all where, like, oh, Johnny doesn't want to be on the Galaxy? Okay, that's fine. Go be on the Portland. You want to go to Portland Timbers? You want to go to Houston or New York? Okay, fine, that's cool. And all that shit was happening all over the place. What's the optics of that look like? It exposes the whole scam, Ben. It exposes the whole scam. People will be like, wait, what? Like, how does that work? It's like saying, oh, yeah, Johnny from Real Madrid. Oh, you want to go to Barcelona? Okay, yeah, cool. Go to Barcelona. All good. It would expose that they're all on the same team.
So,
if you think that it has to do with, oh, my God, I need to protect Jalen Neal because, man, if Jalen Neal made it to our first team, we're going to be that much better on the sporting side of the equation. If that is such a joke, Ben. I don't even know what to say, Ben. It's so laughable to think that, oh my God, we need to develop our own in-house players for our survival. It has nothing to do with their survival. They survive no matter what. They could develop zero. They could promote. They could eliminate the whole academy. It doesn't matter. It's all for show. It's all optics.
That's insane, dude. I've never heard of that before, Gary. And if basically what you're saying, it's all a front, it's all a show to make it seem like it's real competition, right?
100%. And by the way, the little bit that isn't for show is the following, but it also shows you what it's all about. If you can, when you get these homegrown players, right? You graduate a 16-year-old, 17, 18, 19, whatever. You get these guys and now you pay them 80K. You know, you pay them, let's say you make the number simple. You pay them 100K, homegrown contract, 5 years, 4 or 5 years, whatever, 100K. You lock them in you lock in a player for a handful of years at a very low salary. So from a operational expense point of view, you're getting cheap labor. So if you want to look at it that way, Okay, I accept that. But let's see it for what it is. You're doing it for cheap labor. So you can go and then spend the real money on the designated players, the foreigners, to come on in. You can spend the real money on these other things that are the real attraction. So spend the money there. It's okay, because we got cheap labor here for years.
You're blowing my mind, Garen. I think a lot of people don't realize that either, bro. So what is your whole stance on the notion of designated player? When I hear that, bro, it's so stupid to me, bro. Because any other league around the world, right? You just bring in the best players, like fucking no rules. If you can pay them money, they could be on your team. But here it's like, oh no, you're only allowed to have two special players on your team. Like, that is the most recreational thing. Like, how can we be considered a pro league or the best league in the country, and you're only allowed to have two designated, like, what the fuck is that, dude? What is that?
Okay, you're learning that it's a circus. The whole thing is a dog and pony show. It's a circus, Ben. It's for entertainment. And you have to remember who their target customer is. The target customer is not serious soccer people. It's for soccer people. It's for people who don't know any better. They're not the non-hardcores, the casuals. And so what do the casuals, the non-hardcores, what are they kind of interested in? They're interested in Hollywood. They're interested in those sorts of things first and foremost. So go out and get big name players or players with pedigree, right? But for them to come to the United States, you have to pay them way above what they're actually worth on the global market. Because a player who is at that level, a true top caliber international player, they want to continue playing in the legit competitions. They want to keep playing in France and Italy and Spain and Germany and England and Portugal and in whatever it is, in Holland, like in Argentina and Brazil. That's where they want to play. Oh, agent call, gives them a call. Hey, MLS is interested in you. They're going to be like, the fuck? I'm not going to MLS. They're going to pay you 8 times what you currently make. Oh, now they're listening. Now they're listening. So if they're making, I don't know, $500,000 somewhere else, and MLS is, you know, offering you $2 or $3 million salary, you're listening. Or if obviously Messi is the latest example, where do you go? Do you go to Saudi Arabia, Messi? They're going to pay you $1 billion. Or do you come to MLS? They're going to pay you $20 million. But hey, we got some sweet Apple money here on the side that nobody needs to know about. And potential contract situation where you can get your own MLS franchise later down the line. Now you got his attention too. And by the way, you know, Miami discovered you, so you're on their discovery list, you know, and so they have your rights. That's a whole other topic, right? So, hey, do you want to go to Miami? We can get you to Miami, you know? Miami, amazing Hispanic, Latino culture there. Everybody speaks Spanish, a beautiful situation. So you want to go to Saudi Arabia or you want to come to Miami, Messi? So the whole designated player thing obviously started with David Beckham. Again, global superstar, international Hollywood, good-looking man, right? Bring him into MLS. They created that whole new rule. And now how are you going to pay? How do you not break the bank, Benny? Instead of every MLS franchise just getting a full roster full of these dudes, well, that's going to cost Saudi Arabia money. No. Let's make it such that you can only have 2 or 3 of these guys per franchise. And then, hey, let's start these academies, these homegrown players, so we can just pay them peanuts. You know, back then, the minimum salary was less than, you know, way less than 6 figures. I don't know what it was, 30K or 40K. Let's get cheap labor. And that'll subsidize these big name players to come over. Great business model. Genius.
Bro, the phrase that I can't get out of my head that you just said is Miami discovered Messi. What the fuck is that, dude?
Or you don't know about this whole discovery list thing?
No, I don't know about that.
That the franchises? No, okay. So the franchise, so apparently, I don't know. The latest is Lewandowski is on, I forgot whose discovery list. He's
Vancouver,
no?
So on paper.
Yeah.
So in the rules, like they need to obey these rules anyway. It's all a joke. It's all for optics. In the rules, there's something called a discovery list. So every franchise can pick up to, I don't know how many players, 7 or whatever number of players from anywhere in the world, and say, we put him on the list. So I can go and say, Lamine Yamal's on my list, and this guy's on my list, and this guy, and pick a whole bunch of these players who are on your list. And so if those players, if Lamine Yamal ever wanted to come to MLS, he's on Portland Timbers' discovery list. So they have the first right of refusal. He has to go there unless some other franchise is willing to say, hey, Portland, we'll trade you his rights for our first round college draft pick. You know, it's just the stupidest shit on earth, Ben.
That's so dumb. My question is, like, who gets to pick first, bro? You know? Is it good?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter,
you
Ben.
Know? No, it's like, why did Portland Timbers get to select Lamine Yamal first, bro? You know? What do they do? Like, they all the owners get together and they fucking draw straws. And all right, you pick first. That's crazy. And by the way, Lamine Yamal has no say in this, right? They just fucking all of a sudden
no say whatsoever.
They own it.
No, but see, yeah, but you see, Ben, when you're a global superstar like this, the rules don't really matter because MLS is one company. All these teams are just geographically separated offices of the one company that is MLS. So if Lamine Yamal wanted to go to New York or whatever, and Portland owns his discovery rights, it gets resolved. It's not a big deal, but it usually is a big deal when you're not a global superstar. Then they don't give that non-global superstar much of a choice.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Fucking wild, dude. And Gary, you bring up that phrase a lot. How? What did you say? Geographically. What was it? Geographic.
Yeah. MLS teams are not clubs. They are geographically separated offices of the single company that is MLS.
Right. And I see you on X almost every day correcting people. But why is it so important that for people to understand that distinction, Gary?
Yeah, because that is fundamental. That is a fundamental axiom, right? So in mathematics, an axiom is a starting statement that you accept as truth, okay? And from that fundamental truth that you accept, everything else gets built on top of that foundation, okay? So if the foundational statement, the foundational truth is incorrect, all of your later derivatives, all of your second story, third story, the edifice that you build on that incorrect foundation is flawed and ultimately crumbles and gets destroyed. So if people are operating from the axiom that MLS teams actually are clubs, then all their other conclusions are fundamentally flawed. Because if you believe that they are actually clubs, then you believe what you believed moments ago, that, well, Gary, it doesn't make sense. Like, aren't they incentivized to actually develop players for, from their academy and go out and get the best possible players? Yeah, a real club would do that because it's the way that you survive, right? Well, the moment that you know that they're not clubs, now you're going down the rabbit hole of all these things that you believed were true, discovering that they're not true. Because once you realize that they're not actual clubs, then you see that there is no incentive to develop a player. No real incentive. No hardcore real incentive like in the rest of the world. Once you realize that they aren't actual clubs, you start realizing why there's designated players and why, they want cheap labor, and that's why the academies exist. Academies exist so that they can control the youth system also. It's only when you realize that they are not clubs, that's a fundamental axiom, that you start discovering all the truths of the system.
Yeah. It's pretty mind-blowing to hear all of this, bro. And I hope people listen to this and share it. And tell it to their inner circles, because more people need to understand this, bro. Like, I've told you this, but my eyes have been open just in the past couple of years, just hearing everything that you've had to say, man. It's insane. And I think it was two episodes, Gary, you kind of made a correlation between the players in MLS and even the youth academy players, and you compared it to slavery. Okay. And I know some people took offense to that, but what do you mean by that when you say that, you know, players, families, parents are treated like slaves by MLS?
Well, you don't have freedom of movement. You're not a contracted professional, and yet you don't have freedom of movement. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to go to, you know, play at this other MLS academy. You need permission to do that. But worse than that, Benny, is let's say you leave an MLS academy and you go play for a non-MLS academy. You're in the United States. You can do that. That's not a problem. That's allowed, because you exit and you go and play for Irvine Strikers or something, or Surf. Fine. No problem. You can do that. But then if you're going to turn professional in another country, let's say some club in another country is interested in you, now you still have a price tag on your head because you have been in an MLS franchise, because that MLS franchise now has training compensation and solidarity payment rights to your child. And it could range depending on how long you've been in the MLS franchise in their academy. And the price tag could range anywhere from, I don't know, $30,000 to $500,000. Again, depending on how long you've been there and depending what overseas club is interested in you. But there's a price tag. And now once the overseas club realizes that or understands that, they'll probably shut the door on your child, because they'll be like, oh no, we're not going to pay $50K for your kid, or we're not going to pay $300K for your kid, or $500K for your kid. So, I mean, that's pretty fucked up. Like, your kid's opportunities, doors shut in your face. Done. So what does that incentivize you to do? If you're good, I mean, you're kind of incentivized to bow down to MLS and be like, oh, please, you know, give us a chance, make us a pro with you. And once you do that, the price tag on your head goes up even higher. So you're stuck there. You're stuck with MLS unless they, by their own grace, right, choose you to allow you to go overseas. You are owned by them.
At what age does that start happening, Gary, to where you have a price tag on your head?
12.
12 years old?
Age 12.
So basically the moment you enter an academy, right? Mm-hmm. That's insane.
That's right.
Yeah, we just talked about
ownership.
Yep. We had just talked about the other day the situation about Rogelio Garcia and how I guess he tried out for Sporting Kansas City, right? And all of a sudden another franchise was interested in him and they said, well, no, like there's a $150,000 price tag on the head. And then the mom came out and I think this was, when was that? 2023, I think. But it just goes to show you, like, dude, that kid, if what she's saying is true, he literally just showed up to a tryout and all of a sudden they had the rights to this kid, which is just unbelievable to me, dude. I can't even fathom how that's legal, bro. Parent didn't sign anything. Kid didn't sign anything. Like, you show up for one tryout.
No, but look.
$150,000 yeah, price. But look,
yeah, but look. Even if you did sign something, because when they first started instituting this, they started instituting, first off, people have to do their homework. I can't do all the homework for them. It takes a long time. It's a lot of work. You know, little by little, we do the homework for them, Benny, little by little, and we drip it out to them. People should look up the case of DeAndre Yedlin, for instance. I think it was 2015-ish time frame. I don't remember. You know, he had a lot of his youth upbringing with Crossfire Premier and then something in the Seattle Sounders. I don't remember the whole story exactly, but back then, there was no training compensation and solidarity payments here in the United States. U.S. soccer always said that was against child labor laws, okay, which I think is a good stance to have. And the MLS also wanted nothing to do with that. because they didn't want to pay a non-MLS youth club money when they would steal players from a non-MLS youth club. So they were against it too. And then what happened was in 2018-2019, a shit ton of MLS Academy players did not sign MLS contracts and instead said, fuck you, I know that that's a death sentence, I'm going to Europe or going overseas. And they did, in mass, all in within 1 year. Immediately thereafter, MLS instituted, they said, oh yeah, we're going to institute that we have rights to training compensation solidarity payments. Why? So that they can put a price tag on all their academy players' head and basically shut down any sort of migration overseas so that they control who migrates overseas and who does not migrate overseas.
Did this become a part of like FIFA laws as well? Like, let's say like this has happened everywhere else around the world. Like if a player grew up in the Barca Academy and Ajax wants to purchase them, right? Does Barca hold any rights to the player? Does Ajax have to pay anything to Barca? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that FIFA article has been instituted for a very long time. I don't remember off the top of my head when it was instituted, but it was decades ago that whole mechanism existed. And it makes a certain amount of sense because, yeah, imagine if you're developing a player, you're investing in this player, you're a professional team, and then Barca comes over, Real Madrid comes over, says, oh, let me scoop you up, thank you very much, for free. You know, that's kind of fucked up, right? So they try to develop this ecosystem where it's like, yeah, okay, the player can go to Real Madrid or Barca or whoever, the higher levels, but the receiving club should pay something to the club that trained the player. Okay, there's definitely logic to that. And there is a nice, mature marketplace in Europe that works with that. But here, since MLS is what it actually is, a single entity, a monopoly, that's operating on different principles than the clubs in Europe are operating on. Because remember, the clubs in Europe their business interests are aligned with their sporting outcomes. If their sporting outcomes are great, their business is great. If their sporting outcomes are shit, their business is shit. The economics is aligned. The economics are not aligned here at all. They work on optics here. The business is aligned with the optics. So you can't have a situation, MLS cannot have a situation where they train all these academy kids and the academy says, nah, see you, you know, this Dutch club likes me or this Portuguese club likes me or this German club likes me. Peace. Terrible optics again, Ben. So they reversed course and said, we need to lock this down. There's other reasons too.
List them off, bro. Might as well.
The other reasons is because it would actually develop a legit marketplace for players. Players would actually be able to find out what they're actually worth. I'll give you an example. Let's say I have a 16-year-old, let's say I have a 17-year-old kid. He's on an MLS academy. Excellent player. Phenomenal. Youth national teams, killing it. Is he going to be a pro? Absolutely. Blue chip sort of guy. The whole country knows him, everything. Without the price tag on his head, right? Without signing a pro contract here with the MLS franchise, an agent can leverage the MLS franchise and MLS specifically to pay my player a shit ton of money if they want to keep him. Otherwise, he's gone. So you can maximize the player's earning potential when there's competition for the services of the player. Does that make sense? So when the rule was not, when MLS was like, no, we don't do training compensation solidarity payments pre-2019, you could do that. You can leverage the shit out of MLS. Oh, you want the player? Okay, pay him. Pay him properly. But that goes against what I told you was the reason for the homegrowns in the beginning. The reason for the homegrowns is so that they're cheap ass labor and they don't get paid.
Wild, bro. I also saw you just posted about the Inter Miami kid, about how, oh, Inter Miami, mm-hmm. homegrown player just signed a contract with the first team, and your tweet was like, congratulations, good luck, and you're welcome.
Yeah, man, because we talked about this too, Inter Miami, you saw the roster and all foreigners. And people took issue, oh, look at the center back. He's actually, you know, dual national. He's American too. Okay, well, fucking a player. Who gives a shit? You get the idea. The whole goddamn roster is basically foreigners. So if you're in the Inter Miami Academy, good luck. Good luck to you getting a shot with the first team and playing with the first team. Good fucking luck. You know, and I started saying those things and then it caught on and people are like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. You're kind of fucked if you're into Miami's youth system. Like, good luck to you. You're totally screwed. And since that became a thing, now they're probably going to, for optics reasons, give the homegrown player a lot of playing time or significant playing time and try to have a good feel story about the academy, because they need to send a signal to their academy kids and they need to send a signal to the area there. You should join our academy because look, you're actually going to get some playing time with the first team versus not getting dick. So that's also in part why I said you're welcome.
Yeah. No, they have to do it, bro, because you know, it's like dangling a fucking piece of cheese for a little mouse. Like if there's no cheese, like, none of the kids are actually going to stay in the academy, bro. But every once in a while, it's like, all right, let's promote one of the guys and let's sign him on a homegrown deal. And that way all the kids can aspire to. It's pretty sad.
No, and actually play him. This is the other effect that occurred when tons of players, right? And again, thanks to yours truly, you know, I had something to do with this whole thing in 2019 when dozens of players said, F you, MLS, I'm leaving. I'm not signing your shit homegrown contract or USL contract or second team contract and left. Guess what happened immediately after? All the MLS franchises started playing their academy kids. Whoever was a homegrown or was given a new homegrown after that was thrown on the first team field and played and got a whole bunch of minutes. It's all for optics. It's all for show. It's a circus, Ben. And the subsequent 2 years, you know, 4 or 5 transfer windows, they also allowed some players to get European transfers so that they can communicate that to their academies and the ecosystem too. No. You don't have to completely bypass us and say no to our, you know, indentured servitude. We'll play you and we'll get you to Europe or where you want to go. You don't have to say no to us and go directly over there. It's all for show, Ben. And once they did that, they captured the youth market again. They brainwashed again with those actions. And look at what's happened the past year, the past 2 or 3 transfer windows. You don't hear of homegrown players, you know, getting transfers to Europe anymore. It was going crazy in 2020, 2021, 2022. They were shipping them off like crazy. The Brendan Aaronson, the other Aaronson kid, just countless. Ricardo Pepi, you just name them. They all started going overseas. They were allowed to go overseas and get their dream fulfilled. Nobody's getting their dream fulfilled anymore because they've already reinstated their authority by doing the dog and pony show. And it might eventually happen again, where people will start saying, fuck you, MLS. We're not signing your shit contracts, and we're not going to be captured by you. We're going to go to USL instead, because USL will ship me over to Europe. And then MLS will have to combat that bad look. This is the game that's being played here, Benny. It has nothing to do with sporting excellence. All optics.
That's a joke, bro. Do you think during that time, Gary, the franchise owners came to the coach and said, you must play these players for a certain amount of time or your job's on the line? Or did it just kind of go unfold from the coaches?
I think a lot of it happens organically, but you have to remember that they're not clubs, that MLS is the club, and all the teams are just different offices of the one true club that is MLS. And so it's at the MLS corporate headquarters with the owners, with Don Garber, with the executives. They all kind of come up with initiatives. Okay, we need to play our homegrown players and we need to do some transfers to Europe. That is what we want to do now in these next, you know, couple of years. And so they have meetings, right? They have meetings with the executives of all their different offices and they launched their initiative. We're going to start playing our kids. And everybody's kind of looped in that we're going to start playing our kids. And so if you're a head coach, you're not fearful anymore in any way, not that there's massive fear anyway in MLS like there is overseas for an MLS coach, but they're not fearful in any way. If they play a kid and the kid fucks up and he's not good and we get scored on and we don't win games or whatever, you're not as fearful anymore because there's a league-wide initiative to play the kids. It's all good. Now it's fine. You as a coach, you don't want to lose, obviously, naturally. You're competitive in nature, but you're like, okay, this kid looks pretty good. I'll throw him in there. It's all good. And remember this, there's parity, right? So if everyone's roster is kind of like the same in caliber and everybody's going to be playing their 17, 18, 19-year-old, kids, then everybody's dropping the team's level performance by that much because you're playing two or three kids in a game, then it's you're not going to get destroyed for playing your kids because they're playing their kids too.
Wow, bro. What are your thoughts on Josh Sargent's potential return to MLS? You think this is another, and keep in mind the World Cup is, coming up soon. So is this a way for MLS to say, hey, look at Josh Sargent, he's playing MLS, probably be on the national team for the World Cup? Do you think that has to do with them coming to him and approaching him and say, hey, we want you to come back?
This is all the same exact playbook that they did during Jurgen Klinsmann's tenure when they brought back Michael Bradley, Clint Dempsey, Jozy Altidore, offered them a shit ton of money. I don't remember what it was, something like $6 million salary, for Michael Bradley to go to, I think, in Toronto or whatever. Same with Clint Dempsey, same with Jozy Altidore. Because again, you have to pay massive money to bring players away from Europe and come to this circus so that they can have that storyline, Ben. When the World Cup comes around, all of the broadcasters, which are in the pockets of MLS, say, Michael Bradley, Toronto FC. Oh, yeah, Clint Dempsey, Seattle Sounders. Oh, yeah, Jozy Altidore, Toronto FC, MLS. Versus having a U.S. men's national team where the broadcasters say Tottenham Hotspurs, AS Roma, or Feyenoord or wherever Jozy was playing at the time. Yeah. It's brainwashing again, narrative control. Controlling the minds of the people, optics, perception. So World Cup now is coming around 2026. MLS has two things going for it. Number one, because of the mass exodus that happened in 2019, where all the players said no to MLS and went to Europe, they said, oh shit, those players might end up forming the base of the men's national team for not only 2022, but 2026. And so those World Cups are going to be filled with European-based players only, and MLS is not going to have a storyline. In fact, the storyline will be like all these players left and didn't sign with MLS and went to Europe and are now stars on the World Cup. So what did MLS do? MLS said, we also need to transfer players to Europe so that they are the ones who get on the men's national team. And then we do have a story to tell people. Oh, Brendan Aaronson. Philadelphia Union, that's where he got developed, and then the Philadelphia Union moved him on to Europe. That's the story. So they have that going for them. And now if they can bring back some players like a Josh Sargent, like a Weston McKennie, because Weston McKennie rumors were flying also, right? I'm sure you saw that. Then when the World Cup comes around here, they can start rattling off all the MLS-based players that are on the team. It's all for show. It's all a circus, Ben. Imagine if in Argentina and Brazil, before World Cup, they're like, okay, let's get all our players back from the best clubs in the world so that we can talk about, Palmeiras and Flamengo and Cruzeiro during the World Cup broadcasts instead of European clubs where our players are at. It's fucking mind-blowing, dude.
Yeah. Something that I've been thinking about a lot this week. When we met at Lazy Dog and we were talking about, I asked you, how is it possible that the MLS is allowed to, one, protect these players, 35 academy players, but also five just random players, right? And your response to me was, MLS can do whatever the fuck they want, dude. And there's so much, like, even if those are the rules in their fucking bylaws, they can do anything else, bro, and fucking operate in any way that they see fit. I'm like, how is all this stuff fucking legal, dude? Yeah, it's crazy.
No, it is. The fact that they can do whatever they want, let's give some context here for the audience, is it is a private company. It is not a public company. So since it is a private company, they don't have to be transparent about their operations to the public. They don't have to file documents for public transparency at all. They can operate however they want. And I'm not suggesting they're doing anything illegal. I'm just saying, hey, they have MLS rules, right? There's, you know, general allocation money and targeted allocation money. And how can Inter Miami be getting all these foreigners and not violate the salary cap? And, you know, how can they get these players? I thought they were on the other discovery list for this other franchise. They must be violating the rules. These sorts of things are out in the social media circles. Guys, they're all part of the same company. Do we not understand? They all just could get in a room and be like, just to come to an agreement. Oh, I know Portland. Yeah, on paper, you know, you have the discovery rights to this guy. Okay, but obviously he wants to go to New York. We want him nonetheless. Let's get him to New York. Let's just, what are we going to do? Okay, deal. Shake hands. It's over. And then what do they feed the public? Oh, New York traded, you know, some general allocation money to Portland so that they can get the discovery rights for this player from Portland so that they can get the guy to New York. This is not a real competition, Benny. A real competition would be like, no, the player doesn't go to New York because I'm Portland Timbers, and I know if he goes to New York, then New York is going to be that much stronger. I don't want him to be that much stronger. The end. I'm blocking that move. Period. End of story. No, come on. And MLS wants the player to be in MLS. They're going to figure out how to get the player in MLS. Rules or no rules. Stupid.
That's wild, bro. All right, Gary, let's end with this. I thought you had a banger of a tweet. So Lexi Lawless came out and said, given the unique realities / challenges of the U.S., where soccer isn't king, historic sports reign, population / culture is massively diverse, and geography size works against us. It's amazing how good we are and how far we've come in such a relatively short time. And your response was, the only truly unique reality or challenge compared to the rest of the world is that a monopoly controls the market. All those other things cited are legitimately not issues or total nonsense, regularly cited out of ignorance or to uphold the monopoly. Kind of ties into everything we've been talking about today, huh?
Yeah, that captures everything that we've covered today, Benny. I don't know if you want me to expand on any particular thing, but that's it in a nutshell. That is truly what's unique about American soccer versus the rest of the world. A monopoly, one single club, its name is MLS, exists in the first division. It's a monopoly. And all its teams are just that, its teams. They're just offices of the single club that is MLS. That's what's unique about American soccer. And they gatekeep who can come in, who can come out. They control that. That's what's unique, Benny.
Yeah, bro. The same club has won MLS Cup for the past 30 years, dude. MLS.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And when people, this is also another thing that I've been writing about for a while now. I just have to do a better job of getting out the message. Maybe we should just have a podcast 7 days a week for it to actually sink in. I don't know. It's exactly what you said. When people say, oh, those other leagues, it's always the same two or three teams that win the league every time. That's so stupid and boring and dumb and et cetera, and non-competitive, all that. They're completely ignorant takes because they don't understand how it works here. They think that, again, going back to our axiom, they think that MLS teams are clubs. What you said is actually correct. Who has won MLS Cup since 1996? Only one club has won MLS Cup since 1996. One and only one. The club is MLS. Now, if you want to tell me, oh, but different offices of the club won it different years. Okay, I accept that answer. But you need to understand this. If you're a Seattle Sounders fan or something like that, you're really just a fan of the one single club that is MLS. The team that you're cheering on and putting on green fucking shit for, it's like, you know, The Office. It's like the local Dunder Mifflin branch.
I was just thinking about that, bro. I was just thinking about the fucking Scranton branch, the fucking New York branch. Like, and they have their fucking company picnic where they all compete, different branches.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is.
Fucking Michael's playing volleyball and shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the difference is that all the branches of Dunder Mifflin, they would just be given different names, right? Different names, different logos, different everything. And the whole storyline to the public would be that these are actually different paper companies.
Yeah.
And they would do everything kind of like how MLS does it to make the public believe these are all different paper companies competing against one another.
Fucking great analogy. Well, let me ask you this, Gary, because you always say, and you always correct me, right? The teams in MLS are not clubs, they're franchises. But you just called MLS a club. So is MLS club or is MLS a club or is it a franchise?
No. MLS is a club. I give it club status.
What defines it as a club?
Because it's a club because it is its own entity, single entity. It depends on nobody else and it operates as it sees fit. And it owns all the player contracts. All the player contracts are with MLS. They own all the players. The players are MLS's players.
Right.
So it's a club. It's a club. It's like San Diego Surf or AC Brea or whatever. They're a club and they have a whole bunch of teams. So MLS is the club and it has a whole bunch of teams, just like your local youth club has a whole bunch of teams.
Interesting. That's wild, bro.
No, it's wild, Benny. It's wild. And I don't blame, again, for people who think I don't blame these people, man. People have been brainwashed with the other storyline. I understand. I was brainwashed too. I supported MLS since 1996. And it took me decades to realize what this actually is all about.
Still got a ways to go myself, dude. As you can see from some comments. Dude, yeah, I mean, I've been fucking brainwashed. Like you said, I'm literally 30 years old. MLS has been a part of my life since the day I was born, bro. So I was the fucking fan at the Galaxy games and eating nachos and cheering on Kobe Jones, bro. And I'm like, wow, this is the greatest, the best soccer there is. Dude. I had no idea, dude.
I had no idea either. And it's very difficult to look at yourself and acknowledge that you've been brainwashed. That's why there's so much resistance by people who have been brainwashed. They don't want to admit in any way. They don't even want to open a little crack in the window to the possibility that they have been duped by the circus.
Too much pride, dude.
It's hard, man. It's hard. I just hope that parents get educated very early in their kids' youth soccer trajectory, very early. So at least they can make decisions with eyes wide open, because right now they're making decisions completely in the blind, completely in the dark. If you want to go to, I'm not saying don't go to MLS Academy or whatever, go by all means, just know what it is that you're going into. Eyes wide open, be fully informed. That's it.
Go to 343masterclass.com. Hey, maybe.
Yeah, we should probably start doing modules and lessons about this stuff in there.
I was just going to ask you, like, in the future, do you have any plans to maybe do a lesson of how, you know, MLS youth academies operate and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, we can clean up all these episodes that we've done that are along that thread and then chisel them and craft them and put them into the masterclass for sure.
Yeah, man, I feel like there's so much more to talk about in terms of MLS, and I know comments are going to flood in, so hopefully we can bring some of them up on the next episode. Hopefully this opened the eyes of a lot of people, including myself.
It's not, because it just takes time, Benny. It's not one episode that's going to do it. We're going to have to do another 38 episodes on this sort of topic. And it has to be dripped out at regular intervals. And the same people have to be listening to all those episodes for eventually for it to start clicking. And when it really clicks is when they themselves have a personal experience. So they'll couple their personal experience with what they've been learning here. And then the puzzle pieces really start coming together. Because just listening to this one episode, if they haven't been clued in yet to any of this, to any significant degree, or they haven't had personal experiences, all of this, they'll be like, oh, this is very strange, very weird, you know, because they've never heard of it before. It's not going to open their eyes. It's just going to feel very strange to them. If maybe think back, I don't know if you can, I don't know how it happened. Think back when maybe you had your first ever discussions with me on anything remotely related to this. Were your eyes completely opened? No, I think you confessed to me that you thought, well, Gary's fucking crazy. This is crazy. What's he even talking about?
I did confess that. I just couldn't believe the things that you were saying. And I just had a hard time saying, like, no, this is actually true what Gary's saying, because it just seemed so far-fetched, bro, so unbelievable. And it took me hearing it 1,000 times to actually wake up a little bit. I still have a long way to go, obviously. But yeah, man, you're crazy, bro.
And the bigger, yeah, well, but so here's another thing that's important. I think it's a fundamental principle. People are busy with their lives, Ben. Mm-hmm. They work. They put in 40 hours a week or 50 or 60 or whatever it is. They work. They come home. They have families. They prepare dinner. They have children, obviously, because we're talking a lot to parents here. They have children. Their children have academics. They're misbehaving, and daycare and the babysitter and family functions and Christmas and New Year's and on and on. And then driving the kids to training and coming back and playing time. Like, imagine it's a whirlwind of activity that they've got going on. They don't have the time to dig into these sorts of rabbit holes or think about this sort of stuff deeply and then explore it further and further and further and educate themselves on this. They got a whole fucking bunch of shit to do. I've had the fortune that I actually have been working in this thing, in this space, for decades. I've been actually working in it. So I've actually been putting in 10, 20, 40, 60 hours a week, depending on what interval of time we're talking about, whether I was in my 20s, 30s, or now 40s. So I've accumulated thousands of hours in this space, working in this space, bumping up my head against the ceiling, right? At the state of the art in this space. That's why, you know, I've had more energy devoted in this space. That's why my eyes were open and I learned a lot of stuff. I don't blame them. How can I blame them, dude? They don't know. You're muted.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying it takes a long time, dude. And I don't have to imagine what you just described, because that's my life currently, bro. I got a kid outside my door, yeah, fucking waiting to be fed and changed and taken care of. But thankfully, I've had time to have the privilege of working with you and listening to you. And there's just so much, dude. So many things wrong with soccer in this nation. And don't get me wrong, like, soccer's not perfect in every other country in the world. You know, it's just they actually have the opportunities for their cultures to rise. And here we don't have that.
Yeah. And the same goes for all other domains. The scenario that I just painted, where people are busy with their lives, people don't have the time to explore medicine or what's actually happening in geopolitics or what's actually happening in virology, you know, with vaccines. You don't have time to actually know what the fuck you're talking about. So what do you resort to? What do all of us resort to? We have to lean on and rely on the institutions. We have to lean on and rely on whoever we happen to believe might be an expert in the field and just fucking roll with their recommendations.
Yeah.
You can't fucking be a doctor and make an informed decision. You can't be a tax attorney or a tax accountant and do it yourself. You just have to roll with whatever the fuck it is that they're telling you to do. And in soccer, it's the same thing. And that's what these institutions in power rely on. They rely on there's always a new sucker to be a customer and a perpetual person who doesn't know any better and don't have choice. They have to rely on me. So you're my customer. Pay me.
Have you seen that movie Limitless, bro? Bradley Cooper.
Isn't that the one where they take a pill or something and their brain goes a million miles an hour? It's basically speed, right?
Basically, but I mean, the pill, like they say, like, oh, we only use 5% of our brain's full capacity, right? But with the pill, it unlocks 100% and this fool just starts basically learning everything. This, you can like learn Chinese in like fucking an hour, you learn how to play the piano, but just imagine like you take a pill and you learn everything that's wrong with U.S. soccer, bro.
LimitlessSoccer.com.
Unfiltered by Landon Donovan and Tim Howard.
Oh, Jesus. See, they'll never say these sort. That's the other problem, Benny, is the monopoly will people who want to work at the higher levels of soccer in this country, they won't tell you the things that I'm telling you.
Yep. They know it. They just can't say it, right?
Some of them know it. Some of them. Many of them are brainwashed, and they believe that they're doing God's work.
Yeah. Sad, dude. All right, brother. Let's end it right there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Benny. Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. A reminder for coaches, you can get both the free and premium coaching programs at 343coaching.com. Don't let anyone tell you your teams can't win by playing dominant possession-based football while also developing individual players to the highest levels. Nonsense. We've proved it at every single level, and so have hundreds of serious member coaches across the country. Now that we've moved on to the pro level, we're delivering everything we've learned in the program. Don't wait and continue delaying getting on a proven path. And parents, 343masterclass.com is where you want to go to get a working compass for navigating the American soccer landscape with your player. It's pretty bad out there, but let our experience guide you. Lastly, if you're coaching 7v7, we've got you covered there as well. Go to 7v7coaching.com. Until next time, cheers everyone, and keep building.